Well, this morning we start our Christmas series called The Voices of Christmas. It's going to be a different look at Christmas on purpose. You're not going to hear the traditional people that we hear from at Christmas. We're used to what? The shepherds and the wise men and Mary and Joseph. Today I want to begin a series that takes us beyond just the normal characters and look at the different voices from Scripture that speak into the Christmas story. And so that's what we're going to do. Because God wants to speak to us through the voices of Christmas. These characters and their messages are recorded in Scripture for us for a reason. And we don't want to gloss over it, we want to glean from it. Ever think of things like accident or fluke or choice or coincidence? Ever think of those words? Sometimes they're words we use to describe different events in our lives, you know. Well, it was just a fluke that happened. It's just a fluke that the Maple Leafs finally figured out how to win. It's just a coincidence that happened to me. I mean, coincidences. If things are just a coincidence in your life, it kind of lets you off the hook, doesn't it? I mean, it's not my fault. It's just a coincidence. I didn't do anything that caused that to happen. That was just a coincidence. I have no responsibility because life is just a coincidence. Life just happens. Does it really? But what if there's a plan? What if there's a God who is sovereign over everything? What if there's a God who is sovereign over your life? What if there's a plan? See, accepting the idea that there is a plan changes everything. God could use your life events to accomplish his overall goals and bring about a positive end. If God is in control, then everything that happens in us and to us and around us has a meaning, including the birth of a baby boy to an insignificant couple in an insignificant village called Bethlehem. See, I want you to understand this morning that it wasn't a coincidence that this boy was born. It wasn't a coincidence that his parents ended up in Bethlehem. It wasn't a coincidence that his life meant something in this world. It was all about a plan. It's a plan that God had been orchestrating for all of eternity. It's a plan that God warned us about way back in the beginning in the book of Genesis, although we're not going to look at that voice in this series this year. But all the way back from the beginning of eternity, it was God's plan. It was not a coincidence. God would even take time to tell the world 730 years before this baby was born, that this baby was coming. Talk about advance notice. And we hear this message, we hear this in the voice of a man named Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet who lived in Jerusalem, who began his ministry about 740 BC. Isaiah is considered the greatest writing prophet of old. That's who Isaiah is. And Isaiah spoke prophetically about 730 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. And I want you to listen to the voice of Isaiah as he begins to prepare us for the Christmas story. In Isaiah 7 verse 13, then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." There's that word again. Sign. We just came through a series of signs. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel." The prophet here tells us about the remarkable conception of Jesus. Notice a couple of things that we highlight here. It's the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. You know, people who heard Isaiah say those words thought, either we don't understand him or he doesn't know what he's saying. But notice he said, this will be the sign for you. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. So what's the sign? The sign is the virgin. The sign is the virgin will conceive. See, God wanted to get our attention. And the only way to get our attention is to do something out of the ordinary. Now, that's not the way most babies are conceived, correct? I mean, we know that, don't we? I mean, we're all adults here, right? We've dismissed the kids. So we can talk like adults. It doesn't work this way. How many of you know a virgin that's conceived other than Mary? Why? Because it doesn't happen that way, does it? It takes a couple of seeds, doesn't it? You know, it takes two, doesn't it? But this will be a sign to you. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. See, God had to do it out of the ordinary. Billions and billions and billions of times in this world, people have been born the ordinary way. Just once, Jesus Christ was born the extraordinary way. You know, if Mary got pregnant like any other woman would have ever got pregnant, it wouldn't have been a sign. Nobody would have been impressed. Nobody would have thought anything different about it. But this will be a sign to you. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and the child shall be named Emmanuel. It's important that we understand his name. His name means God with us. This name provides to the doubters that God has not abandoned us or forgotten us. It reminds us that God cares about us. It shows us here that Jesus was no coincidence. It wasn't just a coincidence that they ended up in Bethlehem. It was all part of the plan. And we have confirmation of this. About 730 years after Isaiah says this verse, we come upon the story, you know, a Mary and a Joseph. And Mary is betrothed. It's stronger than engaged, but not fully yet married. The marriage isn't consummated yet. You know what I mean, right? We're there, okay? Smile, wave. Don't get shy on me. Marriage isn't consummated. And Mary says to Joseph, you know the story. I'm pregnant, but it's no man. I haven't been with anybody. And the Bible tells us that Joseph wrestled with this. And when he had made a decision to divorce her quietly, then Matthew tells us the rest of the story. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, Matthew 1 verse 20, and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Catch this. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's not a coincidence. It's part of the plan. 730 years in advance, God gives us the warning. Look for the sign. In Matthew, the sign is coming towards fulfillment. And notice those words. He is conceived by the Holy Spirit. That explains how the virgin conceives. When Isaiah said it, in old Jerusalem, people thought you're just a crazy old man. People thought you don't really mean virgin, you mean young maiden. No, he meant virgin. Matthew records for us the words of the angel. What is conceived is by the Holy Spirit. You see, there are no coincidences with God. God is in control. All those times when you thought God forgot you. All those times when you felt abandoned. All those times when you cried out night after night after night praying, God, are you there? All those times when you felt that your prayers didn't get past the ceiling. The Christmas story says, He is Emmanuel, God with us. It's not a fluke. It's not a coincidence. It's part of the plan. It's part of the plan. The problem you and I have is we ruin our lives by this thing. Our watches, our clocks. You and I have this thing, being Westerners, that, you know, when we want something, we get something. Who wants a 70-inch flat-screen TV? Who can't afford it? Who puts it on a credit card anyways? Because we can't wait for things. God has not abandoned us when we are in the waiting process. Can you imagine poor Israel? Because Isaiah spoke to Israel. He said, this is the sign. It took 730 years. Do you want to wait 730 years for your promise? I don't. I'm the kind of guy who wants my promise yesterday. And over the last number of years, God has been having me trust Him and wait. And I keep saying, I've waited long enough. And then I'm reminded in the Christmas story, there are no coincidences. God is in control. God's timetable and mine timetable never line up. They never equal up. So all those times when you thought God has forgotten you, or God has abandoned you, or you thought that God has forgotten the promises that He spoke on you, you need to realize this. God is working everything in accordance with His plan and His timing. And in His timing, His plan will come forth. You are required to wait in faith and never give up. Isaiah has another message for us. It's a couple of chapters over in chapter 9. Verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From the time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Look at that verse for a little bit. Two things are told to us. A child is born. Unto us a son is given. We've already established that the son would be miraculously born of the virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. This is the sign that God is giving us. A child is born. But not born like any other human has been born. A child is born. A son is given. There are two different thoughts. We have to catch that. The prophet goes on to tell us that this baby boy is born of God the Holy Spirit. He is given to mankind. A son is born. A son is given. Who gave the son? The Father in heaven. See, born of the woman, he's fully human. Born of God, he's fully God. Unto us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. He is the first Christmas gift to the world. God gave us his son. He's a gift from God, yet fully human. Then it says, he will be called. We've already established he is Emmanuel, God with us. The angel said to Joseph, call him Jesus. His name will be called. In biblical times, a person's name was much more than just their mode of identification. To us, mostly names are just identification. You have to have your passport and your driver's license and your health care. They've got your picture and your name on it. It's identification. But in old biblical times, a name was something that revealed a person's character. And so Isaiah begins to pronounce to us the character of this baby born, not by coincidence, but by plan. And you've heard these names over and over again, but today I want you to grasp hold of them. It starts with Wonderful Counselor. Now, they are not two different names. They are one. Our old King James put an apostrophe after wonderful, but it's not supposed to be there. He is the Wonderful Counselor. He has supernatural wisdom. That's the Wonderful Counselor. People will be drawn to his teachings and they will marvel at his wisdom. This is said 730 years before he is born. Ever read the Gospels? Ever notice that the crowds gathered around to hear what he said? To see miracles? He is the Wonderful Counselor. There's a story. There's a story when Jesus was about 12 and his family had traveled to Jerusalem for one of the festivals. I've told you many times there were three main festivals in the Jewish belief and in Jesus' time and before where people were asked as much as they could to travel to Jerusalem for the three main festivals. And so his family had traveled and they had participated and done the festival, and then when time came to go home, they got together. It was probably, you know, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, cousins, and this caravan left Jerusalem and headed back towards home, and they traveled quite a little bit, and they realized that Jesus wasn't with them. When they left, they weren't worried. He's probably out there playing with his cousins, you know. He's somewhere in the caravan. Little did they know. They left him home alone, home in Jerusalem. When they went back searching the city for him, they found him in the temple talking to the rabbis, the teachers of the law, and they were astounded at his wisdom because he's the Wonderful Counselor. That's his character. He is the mighty God. He is like nobody else. There's never been a person like him who walked the face of this earth, and there never will be again. He is still fully God, although he is fully human. His power is not limited. He is the mighty God. Not only did crowds follow him for his teaching, but the crowds followed him for his miracles, like feeding 20,000 people with a little boy's lunch. Like saying to the lame man at the pool, Bethesda, get up and walk. Like spitting and making mud and putting it on the blind man's eyes and say, go wash in the pool. Sound familiar? If you were with us the last 7 weeks, you should know all those stories. He's the one who turned water into wine. He's the one who spoke 20 miles away to heal a sick boy. He's the one who stood at the grave of Lazarus, rolled away the stone, and called Lazarus back to life. He is the mighty God. He's not just anybody. He is Wonderful Counselor, mighty God. Oh, he is Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father really should be, better termed would be Father of Eternity. That's what it means, Father, not to be mixed up with Father God. He is Father of Eternity. Among the Jews, to be father of something meant you were the source of it. You were the originator of it. He is Everlasting Father. He is the Father of Eternity. We have those terms today. We just don't use them much. But things like Galileo is considered the father of science. Or Albert Einstein is the father of physics. Jesus is the Father of Eternity. If you want anything eternal, you can only find it in one place. Jesus Christ. You want to live for eternity, you only find it in one place. Jesus Christ. You want to have eternity with Jesus? You find it in only one place, Jesus Christ. He is the Father of Eternity. He is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one who one day will bring in perfect peace to this world. It hasn't come yet. This is part of Isaiah's prophecy that is amazing. Because not only does Isaiah speak about Jesus coming like he did 2,000 years ago, he's already talking about Jesus coming in the last day. And he ties it all together. See, because we believe that this world is not the end. That Jesus is going to come back for all of his children. Are you one of his children? He is the Prince of Peace. Now, peace here doesn't just mean absence of war. That's our limited thinking. But in the Jewish mindset, it was bigger than that. Prince of Peace. It includes the ideas of well-being, prosperity, fulfillment, hope, wholeness, unity. He is the Prince of Peace. He comes to bring us all those things. See, Jesus came into this world not by coincidence, but on a plan. He came as a gift from the Father who is up above. He came to be the Savior of the world and the Savior of your soul. He is the greatest gift you will ever receive. Jesus didn't come just to save you and leave you on your own. He came to walk through life with you. He came so he could walk side by side with you. He came so he could be your wonderful counselor. He came so as you walk through the hard times and the difficult parts of life, when it comes to crucial decisions and you don't know what to do, Jesus says, I am your wonderful counselor. Look at me, I will give you wisdom. Trust in me and I will guide your path. I am your wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. When you're in need of that miracle, when you're in need of that healing, when you're in need of God's power being released in your life and for your situations, he is your mighty God. He is your everlasting Father. He says, if you will trust in me, I will give you life everlasting. Just last week we read, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the Father of eternity. I can give you eternal life if you give me your life in exchange. He is the Prince of Peace. He comes to bring us fulfillment, hope, and wholeness. He comes to restore us to what we were originally meant and intended to be. He is the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. As we celebrate this Christmas season, we need to hear the voice of the prophet Isaiah. He speaks to the generations. He speaks to the generations. He speaks over thousands of years. And his word is still true today as it was the day he released it in Jerusalem in 730 BC. He spoke 730 years before Jesus was born. And he warned us, look for the sign. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. And you are to name him Emmanuel, because he will be God with us. He is a gift from God, and you are to receive that gift. God did this. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't chance. It wasn't a fluke. It was God's plan from the beginning. See, God is not the God of coincidence. He's the God with a plan. He told us this through Isaiah so we would be able to see and understand. God does not leave your life to chance or coincidence. God is always in control, even when you don't think so. But you need to follow him. See, if you walk away from God's direction, then you walk away from his protection. I'll say that again. If you walk away from God's direction, then you choose to walk away from God's protection. We need to walk in the wisdom of God and follow the instructions of God. God has a plan for your life, but you will never find it without Jesus. Do you need to find God today? Do you need to find God today? He's right here. You find him in Jesus. Would you stand with me this morning? Jesus came to be a part of your life. Jesus came to be your wonderful counselor, your mighty God, your everlasting Father, and your Prince of Peace. If God could speak prophetically over the birth of Jesus 730 years before the event, he can speak prophetically over your life today. God has a plan for you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know his son, Jesus. He wants you to have a relationship with Jesus. And he wants you to live your life in the power of Holy Spirit. See, Christmas isn't just a time of nice decorations and lights and tinsel and balls and presents and gifts and all the glitzy, fun stuff that we decorate with. Christmas is bigger than that. The voice of Christmas speaks prophetically over your life. Christmas is designed for you to recognize that Jesus came to this world as a plan and a purpose to give you a plan and a purpose. He didn't come by coincidence, and you are not here by coincidence. Maybe you thought it's just a coincidence somebody dragged me to church today. It's not a coincidence. You know, somebody forced me to come here today. No, they didn't. God forced you to come here today. Because God is working to get your attention. That's why he sends the prophet Isaiah 730 years before Jesus is born to tell us that Jesus is coming. And I am here today to tell you that Jesus came for you. Jesus was born for you. Jesus was born so he could die. Now, we're all born and we eventually die, but Jesus was born to die. To be a sacrifice on a cross so we could remember him in our communion service. And it's not just a ritual. It's life. His body broken for me. His blood shed for me. God is working to get your attention. Are you paying attention? What is Jesus saying to you today? He's already speaking to you. The question is, are you listening? Are you listening? Now, sometimes we just turn down the volume because we don't like what we're hearing. We don't like what God is saying. We don't like what the Bible is saying. We don't like the things that God is doing on the inside. So rather than respond to God, sometimes we just shut God down. What is Jesus saying to you today? What does Jesus want to do in your life? Are you willing to let him do it? But Pastor, you don't understand, it's going to hurt. Oh, I understand. Been there. Sometimes I'm still there. When God starts working on us, it hurts. But you want to remodel your house, you got to break the walls first. You got to make a mess first. Then when you clean up the mess and you rebuild the walls, you go, wow, isn't that nice? It didn't get nice without the mess. Sometimes our lives are that way. God wants to make our lives nice, but we got to go through the mess first. We got to tear some things down so we can build some things up. What does Jesus want to do in your life? Will you let him do it? What part of your heart does Jesus want to touch? You know, so many times we give Jesus all of our lives, but we've really only given him 99%. We kind of lock off that 1%. We bury it deep down. It's something we don't even want to talk about. Something we don't want to remember. What part of your heart does Jesus need to touch today? Will you allow him to change your heart? See, it's all up to you. You can either say yes, God, or no, God. But yes, God reveals his plan. No, God walks away from his protection. What is Jesus saying over your life today? Are you willing to let Jesus lead your life? Are you willing to trust Jesus with everything that you have? Just close your eyes for a moment. Just want to give a moment of privacy to some people. As I run you through those questions, what is it that the Holy Spirit is revealing to you? You don't know it's the Holy Spirit. Your heart's just racing. Your mind is racing. Your spirit is racing. That's the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody in this room who would say, Pastor, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I don't know Jesus. I've never given Jesus my life. I've never asked him to forgive me of my sin. Say, Pastor, before I go home today, I need to get that part of my life straight. If that's you, would you just raise your hand and look at me so I could see it? What else is Jesus saying to you today? He's speaking. Are you listening? Or have you hit the mute button? Don't hit the mute button. Don't put off the voice of the Spirit. Don't put off what God is saying. God loves you and he made a plan for you. And that plan started with Jesus. He told us he was coming so we would be ready for him. As we go into this Christmas season, let the voice of Christmas, let the voice of the prophet, let the voice of the Spirit speak to your spirit. Let God lead you and direct you. Father, we give you all the glory and honor this morning. For you are our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our Prince of Peace and everlasting Father. And we give you all the glory and the honor today. And we thank you, Jesus, we thank you for coming to this world. And Father, we thank you that you gave us a son. And Father, I ask that you would speak prophetically over us in this Christmas season. Lord, that we would open our spiritual ears to hear what you are saying, that we would follow your leading and your direction. Lord, we need you now more than ever before. We need you to speak clearly to us and directly lead us. This Christmas season is not so much always about the past, but it's also about the future. Yes, it's about the past that you gave us a son, but it's about the future. We're to live for the son. So Lord, help us to do this. Help us to walk this way. Lead us and guide us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.